The Web's Michael Smith. It's episode 146 of the Canes Cast. And you know what?
What's that?
I think we better be in shape for this one. Did I give away who the guest could possibly be?
I don't know. Well, people are going to know if they read the episode description before listening.
Yeah, that's usually a smart thing to do.
It's the thing about podcasts is it's like reading not many secrets.
It's reading the ingredients list.
Yeah. I mean, it's a responsible thing to do.
I would agree. It's like if you are in your favorite grocery store or Costco, and you pass by the beer section and you pick up a case or a sixer of the fine sponsor of this podcast, Stormbrew, brought to you by R&D Brewing.
It's brewed right here in Raleigh, North Carolina. They're a proud sponsor of Canescast and the Carolina Hurricanes. It's Stormbrew. It's a delicious, crispy lager.
How many calories?
97.
How many carbs?
2.4.
And the flavor?
Crispy.
Crispy.
Delicious.
Crushable.
Exactly.
Bingo.
It's everything you want in a beer, and it's brewed by R&D Brewing. You can find it at most major retailers in the Triangle. If they don't have it, yell at them. Just kindly ask them. I
was at Wegmans the other day and Costco the other day. It was there. And I have R&D Brewing beverages in my refrigerator today.
Yes, that's the best.
They
also brew Seven Saturdays, which is one of my favorite IPAs. And if you're into the seltzers, which I know it's, you know,
you are.
It's not summer anymore. Getting a little cooler outside, but they're still delicious. The Isla flavors, key lime, tropical, lemon raspberry, all three of them are very tasty. I've seen those popping up in stores as well. So grab yourself a beverage from R&D Brewing. Make it a Storm Brewer. Make it any one of their beers are delicious.
Well, coming up here on episode 146 of the Canes Cast, if you did not read the header, Rod Brindamore will be our guest, and the head coach will be joining us in just a few moments here. We'll get right into the interview because there's lots of questions of what are players doing in the offseason? What else is going on in the offseason? Well, what about the head coach and what he has to do? So lots of questions that we have for the Canes head coach to come up with. As we look at this, Michael, does this feel weird to you? Because it's October 26th.
Yeah.
And we don't know when hockey is going to start. And right now, we would more than likely be on a road trip out west somewhere if this is a normal year.
Yeah, either that or just getting back and very jet-lagged.
You're reminiscing about In-N-Out Burger.
Oh, yeah. Man, I haven't had that in a while.
Nope.
Don't know when I'm going to have it either.
Neither do I.
Unless we open one here on the East Coast. Convince the powers that be at In-N-Out that it can come east of the Mississippi.
I'm in on this one. You know that. Swedish pizza and In-N-Out. I will be a franchisee.
We still need, if anybody knows of a Swedish chef or, you know, someone who specializes in Swedish pizza.
When you say Swedish chef, immediately go to the Muppet Show. All right? Just, how about a cook or a pizza maker from Sweden?
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't want to think of a Muppet just chopping up carrots like he's going insane.
I know Eddie Lack likes tacos, but maybe he also indulges in Swedish pizza
sure
from time
he
to
does.
Time.
Wow, we have gotten off the rails already.
Okay? This is not going
to
make.
This is Bill Bernstein coming to you live from the Canes locker room.
Like, seriously, happy. 3 minutes in. And
sorry, Bill.
He doesn't even know that this is being done right now, and I can sense him pacing and ready to text us about this.
And we've got some really good hockey content, so we might as well just jump right into
Let's
it.
Let's get to it.
Here's Canes head coach, Rod Brindamore.
The questions right now for everybody are, what are you doing to keep yourself busy or occupied? My question is, what are you doing to focus on the season that's coming up? Can you focus on something when you're not entirely sure when it's going to start?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's we're all dealing with it, the same in that, we're kind of a moving target, but I think, it's definitely our off season. We've gone through the draft and you're kind of going through the normal progressions now of getting ready for training camp. And, we obviously don't know when that is, but, for as far as coaches go, I mean, getting our stuff ready for training camp, the video, and just kind of dotting our I's and crossing the T's on making sure we've got everything kind of covered. And then when they tell us to go, we'll kind of, I think, streamline a little bit, but really it's basically just our off season right now.
Yeah. With respects to, what you're doing right now, is it more similar to a typical off season, even though this is now you know, October when we would be on the West Coast or something? Or do you find it's more similar to the pause where you're not really sure, you know, when we're going to have hockey again?
Well, you know, when we had the pause, we were pretty sure it was going to be a long, stay. I remember Tom telling me day one, just prepare like it's your off season then. So we kind of switched gears and prepared for a long break and kind of got ready for, you know, basically starting then, which was 3 months later when we had that training camp. So we were kind of dialed in on getting ready, having kind of the training camp that you would normally have. And so we kind of made our adjustments, kind of, you know, fast forward through all the videos, get new stuff, and then we prepared for the guys. And now it's kind of the same with this little break. You know, we're not tweaking too much, but there are some tweaks you're going to use, some things that we might do a little different. And then that's really where the video is coming in. That might be a little different. And so it's just, I think more than just getting prepared for like a regular season, even though we pushed it back, whatever, 3 months or however many months it's going to be. And then obviously listening to everything that's being said about, okay, how big the training camp is going to be, how long. Kind of preparing for a little different training camp than would be normal.
How much contact can you have with the players, Rod? I mean, can you call them anytime you want? Can you check in on them? Can you send them video and clips of things that maybe that you've seen or you're going over? Or is there kind of a period of just let everybody be for a while?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, I think you run the risk, and I think I did it a little bit during the pause, was, you know, too much contact. I know that sounds a little silly, but, you know, when you push the players away and they go home and they're doing their thing, I don't think they want to hear from the coach that much. I remember, you know, we turn them loose and then they're expected to, you know, obviously get better on their own. They have their own trainers. I think Bill Bernstein does a real good job staying in contact with them. That's really the most important thing, is making sure they're getting their conditioning and getting better, right? They all want to get better. And but he kind of stays with them. I'm in contact with the guys that are here. We have a pretty good, you know, a few guys that are here. And so I run into them, obviously working out every day. And so you stay in contact that way. But otherwise, I try not to, you know, be calling them and checking in on them. I'll send them texts here or there, but it's more, you know, they're on their own and they're going to be getting up with me once the season gets going.
Have you been over to the new practice facility much? And what can you tell us about how it's coming along?
Yeah, that's where I'll see the guys working out. I mean, I try, again, I don't try to go there all the time because, they don't need to see me every day. But, it's beautiful facility, you know, that they put together. We're still touching up on it. You know, it's a new building, so there's a lot of bare walls. And there's things that, we need to, I guess, aesthetically make it look a little better, but the nuts and bolts are there. Billy Bernstein's got his equipment in there, and, you know, guys are going at it. So it's a great, great facility for us, and I think it's going to definitely be, you know, we'll get our use of it, that's for sure.
Things can still happen this off season, but it looks pretty much like the team you have is the team that's here right now on October 26th. Rod, what is it about this group that you like, and then adding a piece like Jesper Fast can make this team take another step forward for what you guys are trying to achieve?
Well, I think, we've done, I think, taken some real big strides here the last couple of years. And it's what we want to do. It's what we expected to do. And you do that with the growing with the group. You got to kind of keep them together. I know that, you know, I think you see a lot of teams with a lot of turnover, and I'm not a big fan of that. Especially when you're moving in the right direction. I think it's different if you go on a different way, but if you feel like you're taking strides, you want to grow together. And I think having those experiences that we, you know, had in during this last little playoff run, I think is going to be invaluable to the guys. So you want to keep them together as much as possible. Now, obviously, business is business, and, you know, we've already, you know, we lost a couple guys that we really would have loved to have kept around, but one to retirement and one just because we had too many D, to be quite honest. But to your point about adding, Foss, I think he really kind of player that fits what we're all about. You know, you know what you're going to get from him. Going to work hard. And really, you know, I look at, we lose Justin Williams out of the lineup. No one's going to really replace that leadership, but we want to make sure we're bringing in character to fill that spot, and I think that's what we've done with Jesper.
Rod, you just kind of answered it, but I got a bit of a follow-up. And I guess I'd be asking you to answer this more as a fan or maybe as a former player. Has today's game turned into this point where people are like, oh, we have to keep changing, we have to do this, where I kind of go back to the past. No, let's keep a group together. In what you said, watch them grow and watch them get better. When you came up, you wanted to keep a core together and see how far it could go. Do you think that the game, because there's a lot of factors to it, but do you think that the game has kind of taken on this, oh, we got to constantly keep changing, that's the only way to get better, instead of maybe, why don't we stay the same and see if this group can get it done?
Yeah, well, I think that's what you fight all the time, is that, you know, there's a sexier free agent out there, or there's, you know, whatever. You know, a guy might struggle that you had on your team this for a year, but it doesn't mean he's not a good player. He just had a, you know, tough year, and maybe that's the guy you want back because he's going to be hungry. And, you know, there's just a lot of variables, I think, that it go into. But for me, as a group, you know, learning to win, and part of that process sometimes is having some tough losses, and so, you know, you want that group that you know suffered that you know punched in the gut, you know, that did it all together, to kind of be together the next time that comes around. And I think that's kind of the mindset, you know, at least from my standpoint, was just try to keep this group together as much as possible. Now, it's impossible to do, as we know, but I think we've done a pretty good job in doing that. And then when you do go to add something, it has to be the right fit. You can't just be the sexiest name out there, because that doesn't necessarily mean that fits your group.
Even though Justin Williams won't be back, he announced his retirement earlier this month. What sort of lasting impact is he going to have on that locker room?
Well, I think anytime you have guys with character, that high of character, and really it's more than that. It's the way he played, the way he handled himself. You know, the standard. I always say the standard is the standard, right? Like, that's what we are. And he epitomized that, right? Like, that's every day coming to work. I mean, you know, he's got that nickname, you know, for being Mr. Game 7. But really, that's how he played every game. You know, like, it's not, you know, he got some points, obviously, in Game 7. But if you really watch, nothing ever changed in the way he played, and which is why I think he flourished in big games, because it was just another game. You know, and he just did it the same way every time. And I think that kind of leadership is what, you know, our younger guys got to see, you know, and Aho's and Spesh, you know, we're lucky that they had some crossover with Justin Williams.
You were around Justin for a long time. So did he ever change? Like you say, he did everything the same way. But I'm talking about the kid who walked in the Canes locker room when you were here. Did you notice him change as a person, or the thing about him is he didn't change? The Justin Williams from 15 years ago is the same Justin Williams as if we talk to him 15 minutes from now. Is that what makes him totally special?
Yeah. I mean, he got more experience, and he got, you know, I think more comfortable in his own skin type thing. But I think as far as the way he played, nothing changed. Like, I remember the same mistake that he made when I played with him. You know, I used to yell at him for, you know, he would make him, he was making them now, but then how many great plays was he making, right? Like, if you got to take some of that, the good with the bad, because certainly the good so far outweighed everything else that went on. And you know, everyone talked about his skating ability wasn't the greatest. He didn't lose a step. He was the same skater 10, 15 years ago as it was now. He just got a little smarter, which enabled him to keep playing at a high level. And then that compete aspect, which I don't know how you measure it. You know, I mean, someday someone will figure out an analytic or a stat that you can, you know, qualify somebody's compete level and will to win, and then you'll see what a real value, you know, players have, because it's that's to me where he really excelled.
This past season was so fractured and unique in tons of ways that hopefully we'll never have to experience again. But when you look back at it and the strides that this team took, both in the regular season and in the playoffs, well, what's one thing that you take away that you hope you can apply to this upcoming season?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, I thought we were a little different this year than last year, which I wasn't 100% excited about, but I thought we adapted to you know, we had some new faces. You know, going back to last year when we came in, and new players that brought different skill sets. So we were able to adapt it. But they I think really at the end of the day, What I love about the group and where we're headed is the young guys that we have obviously drive the ship as far as the talent, but they're trying to do it right. You know, there's no shortcuts in their game. And, you know, when you have that from the young guys, we already know the Jordan Stalls, you know, Jacob Slavens, and, you know, how they're going to play every night. But if we can get it out of these young guys that are really our talent, I think it gives us a chance to think that we actually, you know, have a chance to win, not just every other night, but like the whole thing. And that's what we're all about.
Roddy, we keep hearing the game's changed so much. And, I mean, games are going to evolve. But as a guy who's been around it the way that you have, is the game really that different today than, say, it was 10 years ago? Maybe 15 or 20 when you think of a power game and there was more physical nature to the game. But is the game really that different, or at the basic, the game's still the game?
The game's still the game. I mean, I think you see the players are – it's like all sports across the board. I mean, they're all better. They're faster, they're bigger, they're stronger because they've learned – just like anything, over time, just like technology gets better, so are the athletes, right? They figure it out. And so the game's getting quicker and faster, and you get guys that can do amazing things. I mean, they keep pushing the envelope, and that's what's great about our game and other games. But at the end of the day, it's a team game, right? You're only as good as your weakest link. And I think what I love about hockey is you rely on everybody so much, right? Your best guys can only do so much. You need everyone to contribute. And at the end of the day, it's out-competing that guy beside you. I don't think that's ever going to change. You know, does the style change a little bit? Yeah. Is there way less hitting? Yeah. Is there still hitting in the game? For sure. But it's more speed game now and more skilled game for sure. But it always comes down to those, you know, what I always call fighting for inches. You know, that's what our sport's always about.
Going back to one of the typical off-season things that happened just a little bit later this year was the draft, and it happened in a different way, and you got to experience it inside the team's locker room at PNC Arena. What did you take away from that and all the preparation that Darren York and his staff put into it?
Well, Darren's great at what he does, and part of the reason he's great is just because he's really passionate about it, but he puts in the time. You know, I've known Darren for a long time when he first started, and he just, you know, he works as hard as anybody in the game, and learned, you know, to be a great amateur scout, because that's really what he's doing now, and understanding that and knows what he looks for. And then, you know, these guys had a long time to figure it out. They were ready to do this back in basically May.
Right.
And, you know, got pushed all the way to here. But it was a great organization, the way they pulled it all together. And I think it's tough because you can really, if you're gauging the draft, you need to go back 3 years ago and now gauge it. You know, it's tough to really tell immediately how you did. But I think we're pretty excited about the players we got. And Darren, you know, again, we're real fortunate to have him because I think he's one of the best.
Did you also learn through this draft process not to pick up Don Waddell's phone? Because that story has gotten out how he kind of pranked everybody.
Yeah, he pranked everyone. We need to have some fun. I don't know about the draft. I hope we don't have to do that way again, because that was painful how long it was. So, I mean, I my idea doesn't work, but which was, you know, we know pretty much who's all getting drafted. You just hit a button and everyone gets who you get, and we can save a lot of time. You know what? We needed to have some laughter, and Donnie's got a real kind of funny sense of humor, if you will. He was nice that we kept it light.
He's got a little sneaky sense of humor. Looking forward to this upcoming season. I know there are tons of unanswered questions and you know, logistics to figure out and everything, but assuming that it could be a shortened season, I know the target is still 82, but you know, in all likelihood, it's going to be less than that. What sort of unique challenges does that present, and how do you expect to tackle them?
Well, again, that's one of those unknowns, and I think through this whole process of, you know, coming back to play and everything, with being adaptable and understanding that things are going to not be what they used to be, and having to be able to kind of change on the fly. But I do think, to your point, even if it's a shorter season or whatever, the games will probably be crammed in a little tighter, you know, possibly. So you have to prepare for that. I just think that's another reason why, you know, not having a huge amount of changeover is good, because I don't know if you're going to be able to afford to wait and get your group going you know, 10, 15 games into the season to try to find your game. So, you know, having a little more continuity coming into camp is, I think, going to help teams. And then at the end of the day, I already mentioned it earlier, like you need everybody to contribute because whether there's injuries, whether there's, you know, whatever, or goaltending, we got to have both guys probably, you know, playing a little more than normal, you know. And so all that stuff is factors that will probably come into play.
Rod, thanks so much for taking the time. We've taken up enough of yours today, but if we promise to make it shorter, I want a show where you come back and just give us all of your ideas because I am now fascinated with your draft idea of just pressing a button and getting who you want.
It's like a fantasy.
I got lots of good ideas, right? Everyone has ideas. I got the ideas about refereeing and how we can help them. And normally, you know, I got a lot of good things. We should have some chats more often. I got lots of time on my hands right now.
All right. So do we. So guess what? This could be a feature. Rod, thanks so much. We appreciate it. I know that you find ways to stay busy, but really, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Roddy.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks to head coach Rod Brendamore for taking time out of his Monday morning to chat with us here on Canescast.
I am for this if we can get him to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Rod Brindamore's ideas.
Yeah, ideas with Roddy.
I'm sorry that my takeaway from this is the draft where you just hit a button and get who you want.
It's like a fantasy draft.
But after the draft that they just had, and kudos to the NHL for how they pulled it off. It's not easy, but they got it done. But my goodness, that second day. I thought the second day was going to be over in 5 seconds because nobody's there.
Yeah.
And it was not. So I want to hear this idea. I want to hear the idea about the referees. I want to hear the ideas about making the game better. I want to hear the ideas of making buildings better.
Maybe we should just make him commissioner.
I would be for that.
I mean, I'm not saying we overthrow the current commissioner, but maybe, you know.
I'm not saying we're not.
When Bettman retires, Rod Brindamore for commissioner. I vote yes.
I vote yes.
Is it a democracy? Do we get votes?
This is a thing right now, right, on the internet when you write a column. Who says no?
I think that is, yeah.
There you go. Who says no to that?
Yeah, who says no?
I don't want to know that person. Unless you just want to keep Rod Brindamore as coach for life for the Carolina Hurricanes.
Speaking of voting, I hope every one of you have taken advantage of early voting here in North Carolina.
Yes.
If you haven't, there's still, I think, a few days left in that.
Yep, make a plan. Find a way to get there. I early voted. It took me 20 minutes from the moment I stood in line to the time I turned in my ballot. It was an easy process. It moved along quite well. And folks, every vote matters.
Yeah.
And when we say this, there's no political agenda here. This is what democracy is about. Vote for whoever you want to vote for, but your votes matter.
Yes, they do.
So,
and if you're in Wake County, I know that's maybe just a specific part of our listenership, but there is a handy site that tells you wait times at each early voting facility, so you can plan ahead and choose one that doesn't have a huge line. If you can't get out and early vote, there's always Election Day, and if you have an absentee ballot and are voting by mail, you want to get that in the mail as soon as possible. We dropped ours in the mail about a week ago. Only took a few days to get received and get approved. Or accepted. So very easy from all angles this year, which is a credit to all the poll workers and the folks at the Board of Elections making sure that this election goes very smoothly.
Yeah.
So our thanks to them.
Well said. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah. It's just a little public service announcement that we wanted to get out there.
There's a few things, though, if we can go back with what the head coach of the Hurricanes, Rod Brindamore, just talked to us about. I am always watching how certain sports change. Like if you watch and pick anyone, baseball right now for the World Series, which has been magnificent. But if you watch how baseball is played, the game is still the game. The pitcher's got to throw the ball.
Right.
The hitter's got to put it in play. The fielders have to make plays. So the game, the core doesn't change.
Which the Dodgers fielders did not make plays the other night.
No, they did not. But the night before, or Sunday night, they made enough to win the game. That series has been, please give us 7 games out of this. Especially when you don't care who wins, go 7 and give us all of the drama because some of these games have been just flat out amazing. But what I'm driving at is things change, and I'm old. So in my mind, Like, the game's so different now. It's technology is different. Analytics or saying how to do things are different. If I ever swung with an uppercut coming up playing baseball, my coaches, my dad would never let me play baseball again. You know, you're supposed to have a level swing and hit to all fields and do all this. Now it's all uppercut and, you know, we're going to have whatever the bat speed coming through and your launch angle. And, you know, this is how fast it was off of the bat and then a shift. And for me sitting there, it drives me crazy because, again, I'm old. Where you put three guys on one side of the field, one guy over there, you need to get a runner on, and the hitters refuse to go the other way. Or nobody knows how to bunt. Nobody's known how to bunt, I think, for the last 15 years in baseball. I don't even think they teach it anymore. But I'm like, just go the other way. You're getting $20 million. You should be skilled enough to be able to hit the ball to the other side of the infield where there is one guy versus three. But no, they're trained, they're taught, they're told, this is what you do, and you're going to swing, and we're going to do all those things. And I think I needed to be reminded of, the game's still the game. Mm-hmm. You still have to catch, and I'm glad you brought up the Mookie Betts play from game number four. You still have to catch, you still have to throw, you still have to run, you have to do all of those things. Just the aspects of in between change a little bit. In hockey is not as physical as when I was growing up, but it doesn't mean that there aren't big hits anymore. And when I say not as physical, the fighting is virtually gone.
Yeah.
Which the staged fights, the setup fights, I'm glad those are gone. Some people aren't, but I'm glad that they are. But for hockey, the game is still the game. Who has the puck, who gets it to the net, who wins those inches,
yeah,
is going to win the game.
Yep. And you can probably draw the same parallels too with football a little bit. Especially a lot of the big hit physicality stuff that dominated the game, even 10, 15 years ago, is now gone. And the game is better for it, and players' health is better for it, too.
And that goes back to what Rod Brindamore said. The players today are bigger and faster, smarter towards the game. Some would say yes, some would say no about that, but I think smarter towards what they need to do with how the game is played. A lot of that, when you talk about hits, becomes safety issues for players. But you get linebackers now who are the size of what offensive linemen used to be.
Yeah.
And they're running a 4.5 40,
right,
and they're going to go, you know, 100-yard field by, I forget what the width of a football field is. I think it's like 30 something.
I don't know. Our fact checkers will get on
fine.
That.
They'll get to it. I used to remember all of that, but you know, that becomes a confined space and those guys are running real fast with bad intentions. But where football's changed is, remember, it used to be, we're going to get as many big guys on fourth and one and we're just going to pound the football. Well, now it's five wide, spread it out, let the quarterbacks run. But the whole point of the game, still the same. Still have to make the plays. Just the guys making the plays are way different athletes and you can do way more different things than what you did before. Hockey's the same way.
Yeah, they're more conditioned. They're more cerebral. All of this, they've kind of been training sort of their whole lives and solely focused on being the best athlete possible. And, you know, you look back in the day of the stories of hockey training camps, you know, those used to exist because players would come in and get in shape during training camps. Now you're expected to be in shape at training camp. So it's a year round focus. And these athletes it's almost hyper training in terms of, you know, starting to play the sport early and just dedicating themselves to that sport for their entire playing career.
Yeah. And I think the other part of it is you've got to take a break at some point, right?
Yeah.
And that was interesting to me is, you know, you kind of got to let them go do their own thing. You know, when you're on vacation, nobody wants to hear from their boss. Nobody wants to hear from the manager. Hey, what are you doing on vacation? Just making sure that you got a kale salad. You know, can't go crazy every night on vacation.
Yeah, I'm leaving tomorrow, actually. Don't want to hear from anybody.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, good luck to you.
We're special, but
doesn't matter.
Just getting away.
That's
unplugging, recharging.
Coming up for me in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's so important.
Exactly.
And this is our off season, so we have to, you know, find time to.
Well, I need to. I don't know about you. And this is, we're not trying to become your life coaches or gurus, but we could.
Yeah, if you want to pay us a nominal fee, then.
Sure. We'll be here for you.
Yeah.
Telling you what to do. Sometimes you just have to breathe in the good energy and relax.
Guiding. and leading.
Soothing. And of course, being that light in the distance that you can one day achieve. Hi, welcome to Cane's Cast.
This is good.
Oh, is it? I don't know about that. Although I do think that Bill would enjoy that part of it.
This is Bill Bernstein coming to you live from the Cane's locker room.
You'd be part of it.
Thank you. Yeah,
would agree with all of those things. Damn. But no, you just have to recharge, reset. And for us, because we don't know when the season's going to start.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, not that we can go a lot of places.
No, well, that's the other thing.
That's the other half of this.
Yeah, but it's like you can vacation, but you can't.
Really vacation.
You can't go anywhere.
Exactly.
So it's tricky. Everybody has to stay safe.
Indeed.
And stay healthy, especially with, and you know, we're venturing off the path again, but winter coming up and moving indoors, and that's not great for, you know, containing the virus.
Agreed.
So anyway.
All right, let's get to happier things, shall we?
If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
You talked about it with Rod Brindamore, about the season is going to be shortened in some way, shape, or form. You know what the comments of this show is right here. The NHL will play a minimum of 60 games when the schedule is released.
I'll take it, even though I'm not sure. Even though it's going to be a tough mark to hit, but I'll take it.
And that's regular season, by the way. I'm not trying to, you know, have the backdoor win on, oh, I'm talking about the playoffs too. No, it's a 60-game regular season.
I'll take it. There might be, the league might have to get creative in order to get to that mark, especially, again, if we're talking from the time frame of January or February to the end of July, or whenever the opening ceremonies for the 2020 Summer Olympics taking place in 2021 are, then the league might have to get creative with the scheduling. I know there's talk now that one scenario being explored is the idea of four hub cities. Now, not strict bubbles like we're in Toronto and Edmonton, but more of just a central location for a realigned division to play games. And, you know, in a scenario like that, again, just like the bubble, you can play multiple games per day.
The bubble.
And, you know, theoretically play more games than you'd be able to fit into a schedule that has travel involved. So I'll take it, and I'll be very interested to see what happens. I think there's so many questions, and again, we've been talking about this for weeks. We're going to talk about it for weeks to come because as of right now, there are tons of questions and not many answers about what the league is going to do in order to pull the 2020-21 season off. Now, we know there's going to be a season. I think that much is clear. It's just a matter of how many games they're going to be, what the divisions are going to look like, what the scheduling is going to look like. There are just tons of logistics that need to be figured out, and a lot of it depends on how the situation around the virus plays out over the next few months. I don't envy, again, the return to play committee is going to be a thing again. I don't know if it'll be called that, but the league and the PA are going to work together to figure out a plan because, you know, whatever it is that the PA is going to have to approve it and the league's going to have to work alongside them. And hopefully it goes as harmoniously as it did a few months ago, where they were able to not only, you know, set up the schedule for the bubbles, but also secure labor peace for a number of years. So, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. We saw baseball have some pretty big speed bumps early, but they were able to figure it out. The NFL is kind of a mixed bag right now, kind of a mess if we're being honest. So I think the league has to sort of take cues from both of those leagues that did not play in bubbles and are not playing in bubbles to see how they can effectively pull off this season. They're going to be keeping a close eye on the NBA too, because, you know, those two leagues really, I guess, pioneered the idea of bubbles this offseason. The WNBA did as well. And the MLS, I guess I should mention as well. So a lot is going to be taken from previous successes, what the other leagues are doing. So many unanswered questions. We have no idea what's going to happen. No one has any idea what's going to happen. But as Rod Brindamore was saying, you have to be prepared to start. Whenever that start date is and whatever the schedule looks like, you have to be ready. And so that's what the Hurricanes are spending their time doing now. The coaching staff, the players, preparing for an eventual puck drop that will hopefully be here before, you know, too long, because we're going to run out of things to talk about before then.
We'll figure some things out.
We might just have to pivot to, you know, movies and food. And
we can do all of that. In summation, though, 60-game season?
I'm taking it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you'd send it back. I think maybe we'd... I have a suggestion.
I'm going to take it with, you know, with the reservation that I know it could potentially be shorter, but I want more games.
I have a suggestion, but there's a question that we need to answer, and I will weave my suggestion into that.
Okay.
Do you have a like it, keep it?
Not of my own volition.
Oh, my gosh.
Which I know answers one of the fan questions
which
we have
is,
this
yes,
week.
Yes, which is what we need to get to from Shlomo. Just read the Shlomo.
Yes, let's just jump right in. We
got
a lot of
Shlomo for, one, knowing the show, and then, two, providing Michael Smith a sort of out.
And listening.
That's the most important thing.
Yes, let's dive. We got a lot of good fan questions. This from Shlomo. Well, he is.
These are like it, keep it.
Yeah, suggestion. Three of them. The Canes will have a Hart Trophy finalist within the next three seasons. I'm going to take it.
I'm going to keep it. I'm going to keep that. Who do you think it's going to be?
Sebastian Aho.
He's one, and Andrei Svechnikov is two on my list.
Yep, agreed. Two, the Canes will have a Norris Trophy finalist within the next three seasons.
Yeah, I'll take that and run it all the way to the bank. Might even be as soon as next season.
Yeah.
Take your pick between Jacob Slavin and Dougie Hamilton.
I think it would have been this season.
Would have been Dougie this year. But take your pick between Slavin and Hamilton. One of them will be, in the next 3 years, a Norris Trophy finalist.
The one thing about Slavin is Norris Trophy... defenders like him never get.
I agree, but attention. If you saw the voting this year on it,
yes,
I think enough people kind of recognized it, and his offensive game is starting to round up to where people will notice how good he is defensively, and good is an understatement, but his offense is coming up as well. So,
and he's the NHL's most accurate shooter.
Fact.
It's a fact.
You were there.
It's science.
You saw it with those two eyes.
Yeah. And three, the Web's Michael Smith will not have a, like, keep it for this episode.
I'll keep it every episode.
Bang.
Every episode.
Thank you.
I wish you would have played the rim shot for that one, because it's true.
I can do that. It just might take a minute. Here we go.
You know it's coming. Like, this is the amazing thing to me.
You should set it up as, do you have one? And then I'll just...
No, that's usually my response after your answer as to why you don't.
I got one then.
I'm going to send that back. Thanks for the crickets. All right. You want to get into the fan questions, Mr. Smith?
Yeah, let's dive in. We got some good ones.
We truly, truly do. This from Chris Hooks.
Hey, Chris.
And this also had a visual aid. This is on.
Hi.
Thank you. This is on the video portion of the podcast. Chris Hooks. So in Mighty Ducks 1 or 2, the final penalty shot where they stopped the kid on the other team, was that the worst penalty shot in the history of penalty shots? Yeah, it wasn't very good. Follow up, could the flying V really work at the NHL level? I'll hang up and listen. The flying V might be the most illegal hockey play I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, in an actual game, unless the guy at the front or the gal is carrying the puck, not going to work. Or if you're playing NHL 3s, then I suppose it could work because there's no offsides in NHL 3s.
Oh, there you go. I was going to add, when I was a youngster growing up and we would play street hockey, one team would announce, I had a really good group of friends. We had like a good game. We almost had 5-on-5 with goalies for games that we would play. And there was always this one kid who you wanted him on your team because if you played goalie and you are on the other team and he goes, run the flying V, they would just run in V formation and run over the goalie and score.
That also sounds illegal.
Yeah, it was illegal, but it's street hockey, so it's a good goal.
Yeah, straight. Anything goes. I guess in the situation that, let's say, you're on a 5-on-3 power play, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other team, the three skaters, completely just blow tires and wipe out on the other side of the ice. You could go up the ice with all five, and once you cross the blue line, execute the flying V.
Yeah, you could, or they back off so much and allow you to gain their zone, but that is a very bad penalty-killing tactic.
Oh, yeah, that would be... I'd be on video of what not to do.
If you are drawing up how to kill a penalty and that's your suggestion, you should not be drawing up how to kill penalties in the NHL.
Yeah. Dean Chenault would not.
Oh, no.
He would look at that and say, this is terrible.
Or midget hockey. Or I think they still call it midgets. Or peewee or whatever.
Yeah. Junior hockey.
Or street hockey. Shouldn't be allowed to do that.
Any hockey, really.
Agreed.
I don't even know if it'd work in field hockey.
I don't know.
Is there offside in field hockey?
I think there is.
We should really have fact checkers.
No, we don't. I like the fact that my office is right along Press Row here in PNC Arena where we record CanesCast. And every now and again, there's phones on Press Row. And every now and again, a phone just rings.
Yeah.
Outside of my office.
And there's no one there.
Yeah.
It's.
Well, we're near Halloween, my friend.
It's kind of spooky.
It is. A little eerie. All right. Next question. Oh, what do you have spooky noises or no?
Yeah.
The one I thought would never, ever get played just got played.
Who's there? We'll never know.
Well, if they are, I hope they say,
hi.
This from Archer for Canes.
Hi.
First off, I love the show Archer. Glad it's back.
Yeah?
Yes.
Never seen it.
Oh, it's great.
When should we see news about Fleury and Fogle's contract? Will they avoid arbitration?
Good question. A lot of players are starting to, who filed for arbitration, are starting to avoid it. Yesterday, the Buffalo Sabres had two players who were really barreling towards arbitration, and that would have been interesting to see if they got there, but they signed them. The goalie, Linus Allmark, for way less than what he was asking for, and right winger, Sam Reinhart, and I think that that was kind of in the ballpark of what he was looking for, but one-year deals, and that's what you're seeing right now, kind of players who have gotten at least a filing for arbitration have accepted one-year deals.
Yeah, and so Warren Fogle, his arbitration hearing is set for November 4th, which is about 10 days away, and Hayden Fleury is set for November 8th, which is the last day of the scheduled arbitration hearings.
So they have all that time to work on getting a deal done before going to arbitration. I think they'll get deals done.
Yeah, I honestly expect. I mean, you might as well take, if you're Fogle and Fleury and their representations, you might as well take the time before arbitration to try to get as much money as you can from the team and then end up settling before arbitration. Because, again, we've mentioned it before, arbitration does not sound like a fun process. Because you kind of, the team has to tear you down and you have to build yourself up, and it doesn't really sound all that fun. So, yeah, I would expect, again, that both players are going to re-sign before their arbitration hearings. It's just, this is classic negotiation right now. Just taking the time that you're afforded to try to get as good of a contract as you can. And both players have that right.
Clark Bishop filed, and he got a deal done before.
Same with Gustav Forsling. He filed for arbitration, and the Hurricanes got him under contract Friday night.
So I wouldn't worry that you haven't heard anything right now because, as Michael just told you, Warren Fogle doesn't have to go to arbitration until November 4th. Hayden Fleury doesn't have to go until November 8th. And what happens here is agents, players, teams all watch what happened with other teams and players that have their arbitration coming up. And that becomes the interesting thing. Well, this guy got this, so now you can start working on parameters to get it done.
Yeah.
I would, again, there's no, hey, I know this is the exact date this is going to get done, but I would suspect within, 7 days, 10 days, you'll see some. Well, it's got to be, 10 days for Fogle, because he's the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
But I would expect in the next week or two, you're going to hear that a deal gets done with these players and they move on from there.
Yeah, there's no reason for concern at this point for me. And then, even if they have to go to arbitration and the hearing ends up happening, I still think an agreement would be reached. I don't think the Hurricanes would be willing to walk away from either and, you know, just make them unrestricted free agents. But again, I think both get settled before arbitration.
All right. Next question, Mr. Smith.
This from Olivia Schutt.
Hi.
How are Pesci and Andre doing?
Andre is doing fine. He joined us on Kane's Cast, what, 3-4 episodes ago?
Yeah.
Said he's fine. Said if the season was to be played right now in normal times, he would be ready to go.
Yeah, he's all good. He was he was fishing over the weekend with the trip.
Yes, he was. And his brother. And Brett Pesci.
His actual brother, not yes, just.
Not his, my brother, my cousin.
Right.
Brother. And Brett Pesci is doing fine, yep, by all accounts. So
yeah, he would have been ready to go for a September training camp, yeah, but.
Well, there was still that outside chance that if the Canes made it,
yeah,
to the Cup Finals, that Brett Pesci had an opportunity to play. But he's he'll be good. I think he'll be good to go. He'll be ready to play. And if anything, you know, the time off for a player like Brett Pesci is the best thing for him, because he can just continue to improve on that injury, that upper body injury, and get a little bit stronger and get ready to play.
Maybe we'll get him on the pod.
I am all for that.
Pesci, if you're listening. I doubt you are.
My guy. Come on.
Reach out and we'll...
We've gone shopping together.
We'll catch up. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Still have those jeans?
Yeah, I do. Of course I do.
Yeah.
Yes, I have. No, I might be buried in those jeans, just so you know.
This one from the Florida Caniac.
Hi.
If there was a movie made about the 2006 Stanley Cup winning Canes, who would play what players in your minds?
We have to go through like all...
That'd be a lot.
I mean, that'd be a whole show.
Let's go through the main cast of characters here.
Tom Cruise for Ray Whitney. Although, ooh, Ray Whitney is much taller than Tom Cruise.
I really like that one.
But I gave some thought to this one. I just, so you know. I have Brad Pitt playing Justin Williams.
Okay.
It's a stretch.
No, I think it works.
But that's what I have there.
I think it works, yeah.
Rod Brind'Amour is the guy that I've struggled with trying to put an actor here in this. I want to go Ryan Reynolds, but is Ryan Reynolds too young to play the role? Canadian. We know he's in shape.
Yeah.
Great, sneaky sense of humor.
I feel like...
I was going to say Daniel Day-Lewis, but Daniel Day-Lewis is way too small to play Rod Brind'Amour. Like, in frame. Although, Daniel Day-Lewis, method actor, would probably gain the weight and get in shape to play Rod Brind'Amour.
I feel like we need to work Sam Elliott in there somehow.
Oh, of course.
Who could he play?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Could he play...
Skip.
Yes.
Sam Elliott, yeah, is Skip Cunningham. Yeah.
For sure. For sure.
The outstanding, yeah, equipment manager who was an equipment manager for Gordie Howe and Andrei Svechnikov. Think about that. Yeah, that one was easy as soon, yeah, as you turned that around.
How about Matthew?
I don't know if Sam Elliott can do the Massachusetts accent, though, the New England accent.
Oh, well.
Get him to try.
Yeah, and if not, he can just call it a character choice.
Paul McCartney plays Bob Gorman.
Okay.
There's a picture of Bob Gorman breaking into the league, and it looked like Paul McCartney.
How about, I feel like we need to get Matthew McConaughey in there.
Eric Stahl.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Leo?
Ooh, Leo could play Eric Stahl, the blonde hair.
This movie's budget is massive.
It's yeah. Do we get Affleck in there at all? Like, can we do an Affleck Damon thing?
Probably. Maybe like a Craig Adams.
Yeah, that, yeah, could work. Just spitballing some things out here. Keanu Reeves to play Cam Ward because he played a goalie, ooh, in Youngblood.
Yeah. How about Martin Gerber? Who plays Martin Gerber?
Oh, man.
Could that be Matt Damon?
That could be Matt Damon.
Yeah. This is going to be a great movie, everybody.
Peter LaViolette. That's where you go. George Clooney.
Ooh. I like that. We should go.
I told you I was giving some thought when I saw this question we pop should go, up. And I did, question has popped up like 20 minutes ago.
We should go Hamilton style, too, and get like who could Denzel play? Oh. We need Denzel.
Denzel could play
Mike Commodore.
That would be amazing. No, that's going to go with Eric Cole.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then comes back the whole.
I like that.
Yeah, could do that. Just saying.
We'll just cast Carrot Top for.
Yeah, Tommy. Yeah. Wow. Way to go.
Just went right there.
Way to go for the low-hanging fruit.
This movie is going to be excellent.
Yeah.
Who's going to direct it? J.J. Abrams.
Scorsese.
Oh, Scorsese. I like that. Yeah. It'd be a crime
movie. It'd be movie. It's a caper movie. Bloody. They won the cup.
And then I guess it can be a little bloody.
Scorsese hasn't made every movie that goes that way.
Yeah, that's true. That's just more Tarantino.
Yeah. I'm not having Quentin Tarantino direct.
In the third act of the Tarantino Stanley Cup Champions film, the Hurricanes would, like, kill the Edmonton Oilers on the ice.
All right, now that you say that, Kurt Russell comes to mind. Mm. So does Kurt Russell play Lobby because he's played Herb Brooks?
Ooh, yeah.
And then we can move Clooney into another role. Just spitballing here.
You mentioned Kurt Russell. Now I'm thinking Carrie Russell. She'd be good in the movie, too.
Sure. Absolutely.
I don't know who she'd play.
Families. I mean, you're going to have...
Oh, that's true.
You're going to have those moments in it. So, all right. Anything else?
I hope we covered that for you, the Florida Caniac. We just cast
it. I think he wanted us to go for every player, and we don't have the time, but we just took a long time answering that. And I think I gave some decent answers there.
Yeah, I think we put together a great cast, a fantastic director. Oh, I don't know who's going to write the film, but we'll work on that.
Sure.
I know some people.
Sure. Seth Rogen can write the film.
A Seth Rogen written, Martin Scorsese directed sports movie. I'm in.
Tell me that's not gold. I'm in. It's not gold.
All right, this one from Earl of Enron.
Hi.
It's rumored that the Canes have expressed interest in Mike Hoffman. I think I expressed interest in Mike Hoffman on last week's episode. What sort of moves would the Canes look to make to realistically sign Hoffman or a similarly priced UFA? I don't know if anyone would be... I mean, he's going to get somewhere, I think, in between Evgeny Dadonov, who's at 5, and Taylor Hall, who's at 8. I think that's probably somewhere in the neighborhood.
I think like 6.5, trending maybe a little higher. Unless you give him longer term, then it would probably be the number would be a little bit lower. This is a tough one, but what would have to happen?
Well, the Canes would have to clear some cap space.
That's
because they only have about 4.5, 5-ish left. And that's, again, before signing Hayden Fleury and Warren Fogle. Just going to eat up a little bit of that.
So you'd have to move out, I would guess, what, about $7 million in salary? And nobody really does a cash-for-nothing deal unless you're talking about draft picks, which I suppose you could do.
I mean, the contracts that would jump out, I think, would be Nino Niederreiter at 5.25, Ryan DeZingle at 3.375, Brock McGinn at 2.1.
Well, it doesn't just have to be forwards either. It could be defensemen too.
True.
But remember, you're trading those players out, and you're getting nothing but draft picks in return.
Yeah.
Because you're clearing out the money.
And there has to be a team that would like one of those players.
Yes.
Not saying there wouldn't be, but...
And but then you'd have to get some kind of fair value for it. I mean, if you do the, EA Sports NHL GM, you basically what you have to do is move out $7 million of salary, and
maybe less.
Bring in draft picks,
maybe less, depending on.
Well, but once again, you're at 4, right? 4.5,
or close to 5, I think.
But then you figure that Fleury and Fogle are going to get at least $1 million plus, both players. So that's why I'm just thinking. Because you still need to have room for other things during the course of a season.
I have expressed interest in it. I think it would be great. He would fit in very well on the left side with Vincent Trocheck and Martin Nitras. Not that I've thought about this at all. He could also play the left side along with Aho and Teravainen.
Seems very off the cuff for you with all of this.
But, it'd be nice, but
yep.
I don't know if financially it makes sense for the Hurricanes.
Yeah, and again, what we just talked with Rod Brindamore about, sometimes bringing in the big, sexy free agent name isn't always the best thing for the team, which this does also answer. So check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Hi.
You could take any of these players to add to the Canes roster. Who would you choose if the cap was not an issue? And he puts up 9 players that the NHL has posted as the top remaining unrestricted free agents. No particular order, just they're in a box, so I'm going to go left to right, top row to bottom row. Mike Hoffman, Michael Granlin, Anthony Duclair, Sammy Vatanen, Eric Halla, Ilya Kovalchuk, Alex Galchenyuk, Travis Hamonic, and Andreas Athanasiou. I believe that Michael's already made his pick, and I will agree.
Yeah.
Mike Hoffman would be the one who I'd pick there.
Yep, 100%. This from Bill DeBrower.
Hi.
If the season is shortened, do the players still get paid the full value of their contract, or does it get prorated? What if the season is canceled? Love the show. Well, first of all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
We love you, Bill.
Yes.
5 stars, best friends.
For life.
So working backwards now too, what if the season is canceled? I don't think that's a concern at all. I think the season's going to be played. One way or the other, the season's going to be played.
If the season is canceled, though, the players have to play to get their money, because contracts are based on games played.
Yeah. That would get tricky, because I'm sure they'd have to work something out.
So here was, remember how I said earlier, hey, I have a suggestion. It's a question coming up. It was to Bill's question.
Okay.
So if the season is shortened, do the players still get paid the full value of their contract, or does it get prorated? It would normally be prorated. You only played 60 games, you only get paid for 60 games. But my solution to that, and I don't know if this would be popular, and there'd be so many legal hoops and both sides would have to agree to this, and then other concessions have to come in. But just perfect world, block out all of the other stuff, because I think everybody just goes myopic and nobody thinks these are factors at play. Now my preamble's done. 60-game season, the NHL comes to the NHLPA and says, we will pay you your full 82-game salary for a 60-game season, but we are going to expand the playoffs again.
Yeah.
And that's yep. That.
I could totally see that happening.
And I could see the players agreeing to it. I think it'd be a much harder sell for the owners, because you've got to hand out 22 game checks
yep.
that you don't really have, but it gets made up because you have the extra playoff round.
Right.
And depending on how you want to, saddle up that playoff round. But that's where it comes out in the wash.
Yeah. I mean, this it's just such a unique scenario that we're facing right now, that I think something is probably going to have to get worked out like that.
And that's why I said I could have brought that up in the like it, keep it. But I saw Bill's question. And again, there's so many things that would in the real world have to be ironed out with that proposal. But if it's 60 games and if you're the NHL, you can kind of do the, and we're going to have this for extra first round forever now.
Yeah,
we're expanding the playoffs.
Yeah,
like that's how you agree to it. But I'm just going right now. Bill also has one more, so we can say hi to him again.
Hi.
You can turn this into a like it, keep it, but we're not. Canes make the black jersey the primary jersey. I am for this, but I think that one day we'll see that. I think we'll see a uniform change, and I think that the Canes primary jersey will be what's the alternate right now, but.
Yeah, I'll send it back.
Really?
Yep. I guess you could call me more of a traditionalist. I like the primary logo, being featured primarily on the home and road jerseys. And I know that's not the case for the Hurricanes road jerseys right now. And I think the black third makes a nice third jersey option.
See, right now, if we are talking about the logo, and I get when people talk about tradition and things that you like. And I am a big fan of tradition, especially when it comes to jerseys. I just like the what has been the primary logo for all of the years. I kind of like it now as the secondary logo on the shoulder patch, and I really like the logo on the alternate jersey as the primary.
That's sharp.
Also, from Bill, it's my son Liam's birthday. He turns 14 tomorrow.
Hi.
Any chance for a shout-out? As Trip Tracy would say, he's a huge Caniac and an avid listener of the show. Thanks.
That's amazing. Hi, Liam.
Hi, Liam. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. I hope it's a great day. And I hope your 14th year is the best yet.
Yes. And based on this past year, it's only going to get better.
That's true.
We hope for you.
Yes. Thanks again, Liam. And thanks, Bill.
Yep.
For your questions. This from James the Milkman.
Hi.
How can the team bounce back after the playoff loss? Well, I don't know if it's really going to be that hard, to be honest.
They just show up and play games?
Yeah, because that happened in August, I think. And it's going to be January when the puck drops again. I don't think it's going to factor in one way or the other.
Yeah. I think they're already bouncing back from it.
Yep. I agree. I think the one area that it might come into play, again, is if the Hurricanes and the Bruins meet in the playoffs. Yeah.
But you watch that playoff series. This wasn't like the Eastern Conference Finals where you watched and you're like, wow, Canes have a long way to go to get to the Bruins level. I watched that series closely.
Oh, you didn't blindfold yourself? And
no.
Oh.
It's a little difficult to circumstances, but... And went back and watched it again. Those games, it wasn't like Boston was rolling over the top of the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah.
And so that's why when people say, how do they bounce back after the playoff loss? They put on their skates, they get on the ice, they play their season, they learn from that lesson, and I think that they will. And I think with the coaching staff that they have in place, I think the players in that locker room, they're going to be one of those teams chomping at the bit to get going out there on the ice and ready to play.
I agree. This from The Cool Show. The Cool? K-U-E-H-L.
Yeah, it's cool.
Cool Show. Can the Canes rely on Mrazek and Reimer going forward?
Hi.
Yeah, I think they can.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why they wouldn't.
I get there's questions of, and it goes back to what we were talking about with Rod Brind'Amour, the head coach, which is, you know, you're always looking to, and teams are always looking to improve, you know, in every position. If there's somebody who you feel fits in the culture, makes the team better, and is a better player than what you have, yeah, you have to explore those options. And I think that this year it's really different, Michael, because there were so many goaltenders who were available.
Yeah.
And goaltenders, not just there were a ton of goalies available, goalies with a pedigree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, goalies with a resume that they have done good things. They've won Stanley Cups or they've won Vezinas or they were in those conversations. And I think that's what everybody is looking at. But, yeah, if you're just going on, can they rely on Mrazek and Reimer going forward? Got them in the playoffs this past year.
Yep.
So, yeah, I've seen it. It's one of those things. Steve Logan, the former ECU football coach, said this, and I have stolen it from him. You can't do it until you do it. You know, you don't know you can do it until you do it. Mm-hmm. Well, this team, they know that they can make the playoffs with Mrazek and Reimer as the goaltenders.
Yeah, and they have Alex Nedeljkovic, who's capable and waiting in the wings. So, yeah, I don't see any reason why.
So when you say rely, yes, I think they absolutely can rely on them.
Yep, and, you know, again, going back to the interview with Rod Brind'Amour, as he noted, in a compressed schedule, which in all likelihood, that's what you're going to see, whether you're playing 48 games or 60 games or 72, you know, however many games are played, the schedule is going to be compressed. There are going to be a lot of back-to-backs. And, you know, again, if you have this hub city sort of thing and you can play multiple games in a day, you might have even more back-to-backs because you don't have to travel. So you're going to have to rely, I think, maybe even this year.
On two goalies.
More than any other year.
It's why Montreal went out and got Jake Allen to back up Carey Price because you can't play a goalie 50 times anymore in a compressed schedule.
And you've already seen, I think, in the last few years, the sort of shift to a A-B sort of situation. Yeah. There are some teams, like, you know, Montreal, who rode Carey Price all the way. And why not? He's great. But this year, maybe more than any, is going to be that emphasis on the two goaltender system.
Look what Columbus did with Elvis Merzlikins and Jonas Corposalo. Get it out.
Say that 10 times fast.
Jonas Corposalo. I got it once. Take a knee there. But, you know, you have to, I think you have to have that 1B. And if we're going to be realistic about the Canes and an overview of history, I think that was one of the issues that plagued this franchise during that playoff drought, which is not the fact that they didn't have enough scoring, because they didn't, and we can go to that, but you had to rely on one goalie. And what happened, fair or unfair, people got the wrong impression on Cam Ward towards the end of the career, but he was it. Yeah, there were doors that were open, but nobody else really ran through it. You had Anton Khudobin, who, by the way, went on an amazing run this postseason with the Dallas Stars. Anton Khudobin had that first year with the Canes, and you're thinking, oh, this is it. This is a chance. You know, you're going to get the 1A, the 1B. You know, you don't have to play one goalie 60 games a year. And then the next season, it just never materialized the way it did the season before. So, and what we've seen the last two seasons with, you know, Peter Mrazek, if we're going to say he's the 1A goalie,
right?
We've seen that the Canes have gotten what you need out of the 1B with Curtis McElhaney before James Reimer, that those guys are capable of going into Washington and winning a game, going into Vegas and being competitive, giving the team a chance to win in those buildings against those teams. That's what you need, because you've got to be able to go into a game now with your backup goalie and be like, hope we can steal it with the, no, we need to win it tonight.
Yep. 100%.
Wow. Long answer there.
This from Michaela Ash.
Hi.
Good question coming up here.
If the stadium series gets postponed, when do you think that may be? A month or two out, or maybe a year? I'll just read the rest of it. What are your thoughts on the current timeline of next season, and what should fans keep in mind for next season?
Well, I think that the stadium series, I think everything, unless you can do 100% capacity, is going to be pushed to the next year.
To me, it was weird that they postponed the Winter Classic and All-Star Weekend, but not Stadium Series. They announced the postponement of the first two, which, you know, I understand those take place in January, and the Stadium Series is scheduled for February, but would have made sense to announce the postponement of all three. But in any case, yeah, I think the Stadium Series will likely get pushed back to 2022, just because that makes, I think, the most sense for everybody involved.
Yep. And when you'll hear about it, probably when we get closer to the start of the season, which is thoughts on the current timeline of next season and what should fans keep in mind? Well, the current timeline, Gary Bettman and the commissioner's office put out the date of January 1st, which we would all love. But I think that that was just to give a target date. I think that target's going to be moving. I think it'll probably be moving to the end of January and early February to be a start. And what should fans keep in mind for next season? That the season might start with no fans or limited fans in the building. That's what fans need to keep in mind.
Or, you know, again, this latest rumor, the hub cities, perhaps, then you might have fans in, you know, they might put these hub cities in places that are able to have some fans, but it might not be here at PNC Arena. So, again, a lot of things to keep in mind, but the hope is that, and the hope remains, that at some point in the 2021 season that we'll be able to have some fans here for hockey at PNC Arena.
Yeah, and the other thing to keep in mind, there are a lot of forces at play that have nothing to do with the game or the owners or the NHLPA or even the NHL front office when it comes to directing how things are going to happen. I mean, right now, if you go to Canada, you have to quarantine for 14 days. So you have to keep that in mind. Will Canada be open? Will other states be open? You know, will states get more uniform, or will states continue? I mean, they were told you got to handle it yourself. So some states are very, very cautious. Some states are wide open. Like Florida's wide open right now. They probably will continue to be wide open. And I can promise you, if we're having a real discussion, you want me to be real?
Be real.
Want me to be real?
Be real.
owners are going to be like, why do they get to have 100% capacity and I have 10 or zero or whatever?
You've already seen that some in the NFL. You know, the Saints official Twitter account, like subtweeting their own governor about capacity.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah. And by the way, in the NHL, you don't need to have a fan in the stands to make money. NHL, NFL owners make money the second they say, yeah, we're playing.
Yeah.
So sorry about that. That was me yelling at the NFL. They had all this time to figure it out, and the fact that they couldn't.
Yeah. It's.
And then hub cities are going to be tough to pull off again, just because you're going to have guys, what, quarantine for 4 months, you know, isolate for that.
It
and
would
I know
be,
they're going to talk about, like, move it around, but I don't know, Michael. That just seems so many moving parts.
Yep.
And you can't guarantee everything. But it's a great question from Michaela. I wish we had something concrete. There's nothing concrete right now.
No.
So just keep in mind, something else's fans, everything is a fluid situation.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm guessing, the league probably has 5-10 different scenarios, all with varying degrees of, okay, you know, the virus looks like this right now. The vaccine, you know, looks like this right. All these different scenarios, and they have to probably monitor and consider them all at the moment until you can make a concrete decision, which obviously hasn't been made yet, probably won't be made for, I would say, at least another month. But if you're talking about a January start date, there does, I think there needs to be some forward progress made within the coming, I would say, 5 to 6 weeks.
Oh, easily. Moving on, this is Allie of mine.
Hi.
It's basically what Michaela just asked, but I'll read the question and just we can do a quick summary. Is there any tentative dates for the season to start? Are we having a season this year? If there are plans for a season, what are the plans to keep the players safe? Would it be considered not to have any audience? Love you guys. Stay safe.
Thank you.
Best friends.
Best friends for life.
So to sum up, yes, there's tentative dates for the season to start January 1st. Very tentative. Are we having a season this year? Yes, I believe we will have a season in some way, shape, or form.
I agree.
Okay.
In some way, shape, or form, there will be a season.
What are the plans to keep the players safe? Michael just kind of outlined it. They are looking at bubble cities. An idea got floated out there that Canada would be its own division.
Yep.
So there would be like a division realignment where East would play East, Midwest would play Midwest, West plays West, and then Canada is its own division all to itself.
And that's one of the challenges unique to the NHL because baseball only has Toronto.
Toronto, which had to play in Buffalo this year.
The NBA only has Toronto.
Yep. But they went to a bubble. They didn't have to go play.
It would be easier to relocate that team to the U.S., like in baseball, for one season versus having to relocate all of the Canadian teams. So that's why the idea of an all-Canadian division seems, at this point, very likely.
And would it be considered to not have any audience? Yeah, I think everything's considered right now.
Yeah. I mean, the unfortunate part is, and again, we've talked about it, like the NHL is reliant on, heavily reliant on gate receipts. The NBA, I think, is in many respects the same way. The hope is that you'd be able to have some fans in every market. But again, as we've talked about, that might not be a distinct possibility in early January.
All right. Anything else, Mr. Smith?
I don't think so. I think we covered it all.
I think we've hit every base.
And we're over an hour, so who knows how many people are left. Hey, we should thank Storm Brew.
Absolutely. You know why? Because they sponsor CanesCast with the crisp, light, refreshing lager known as Storm Brew, which is how many calories?
97.
Why is that?
Because Ian Van Gundy is a genius.
Absolutely. How many carbs?
2.4.
And it is?
Crushable.
And?
Crispy.
And?
Delicious.
And?
Available at all major retailers around the triangle.
Perfect.
Boom.
I think that's the best I've ever contributed to that read.
That's a good one. Thanks to our friends at R&D Brewing right here in Raleigh, North Carolina. They brew Storm Brew. They brew Seven Saturdays, Riviera. Nice Mexican lager.
That's when you run down the list of like, oh, sneaky good players, Riviera.
Yeah. And they're, you know, if you listen to our interview with Ian Van Gundy back a few episodes ago, they're getting ready to expand and their brewing capacity is going to massively increase.
Yes.
And it's going to be really cool to see what they have in store.
It's a win for all of us. So thank you to the sponsors of Canes Cast, R&D Brewing, and Storm Brew.
Well, it's time to go.
I agree.
All right.
Well done, Mr. Smith.
Yeah, same to you.
All right. So we'll do this again next week?
Yes, we will.
Great. Because I know that you're going away, but you're not going away.
Yeah, I'll be back.
Yeah, I'll be back when I'll be here. I don't even know when I'm going away. I think a couple of weeks. I'll let you know, but I'll be here.
And if you guys have a suggestion on who you'd like to hear on the podcast next, let us know.
Yeah, please do.
And we'll work to make
guests,
it happen.
What guests you want to hear? Do you want to hear us talk to? One of the things that Michael and I hear on this Canescast as we're getting ready to say goodbye, and thank you all for listening to this episode, is do you want to hear from people outside of the Canes world? We know that this is the Canescast. We try to keep it Canes-centric and food and movie-centric. But do you want to hear from people around the NHL? You know, that's one of my things. I'm fine with that. I'd like to get outside perspectives of what they think about the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah.
In the NHL world. But let us know. That's why we're here. And we haven't really done this in a while. So, you know, usually when we say we're going to go and then we keep rambling on, please rate us.
Oh,
if
yeah.
you have the time and the effort and the wherewithal to do so, rate us on Apple Podcasts. 5 stars, best friends for life. 4 stars, really good friends. Going to go out for dinner, probably. Hang out socially.
Lunch, maybe.
3 stars is lunch for me.
3 stars is like a...
3 stars is like a business lunch.
It's like a wave when you pass by.
Oh, 3 stars, you say hello.
Maybe you strike up a conversation at the bar with, again, mask on and socially distant.
Socially distant and Storm Brew.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So, but 3 stars is like, hey, how are you? You having a good day? All right. I mean, we're not going to get in depth with you, but there'll be a conversation, acknowledging of everything. 2 stars. All right. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Why are you even leaving a review if it's 1 star?
Yeah. You're dead to me.
I'm starting to come around to that idea of thinking. Normally I'd say no, but I'm like, you're just leaving 1 star because you just have nothing else going in your life and you want to bring people down to your level. Oh, that's not a conspiracy theory. That is a fact.
That's a fact.
That is a fact.
All right.
That's where we end this episode. Thank goodness we started it with Rod Brindamore.
Yeah, he really saved the whole thing for us.
He truly did.
Yeah.
And all of our fine listeners out there who send us great questions via Twitter, thank you so much for that. So we wrap up by saying, for the webs, Michael Smith.
And TV's Mike Maniscalco.
Got you off guard there.
I bumped my head on the microphone.
Well, if all of the equipment's still here, we'll talk to you next week.
Moi, moi.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening to this podcast.